thanks, O God, for boundless mercy from thy gracious throne above. Thanks for every need provided from the fullness of thy love. Thanks for daily toil and labor, and for rest when shadows fall. Thanks for love of friend and neighbor, and thy goodness unto all. Thanks for thorns as well as roses. Thanks for weakness and for health. Thanks for clouds as well as sunshine. Thanks for poverty and wealth. Thanks for pain as well as pleasure. And although thou dost send thy day, and thy word our dearest treasure, shedding light upon our way. Thanks, O God, for home and fireside where we share our daily bread. Thanks for hours of sweet communion when by thee our souls are fed. Thanks for grace in time of sorrow, and for joy and peace in thee. Thanks for hope today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, full, and free. Thanks for grace in time of sorrow, and for joy and peace in thee.
That's a pertinent song, wonderful. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Gospel of John, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the Gospel of John chapter 14. I was searching in my mind for another name to give you when it was starting at the start of the service for prayer time, and that's Gloria Palmateer. I visited Gloria this week, Thursday afternoon, and she is not well, not strong enough to get out of bed, unless that's changed since then. Cheryl, is that about the same? So she did get out good. Okay, that's good to hear. So do pray for her. I'm sorry? Oh, to the living room, that's about it. Well, that's the further than she had been for a while, so she is not well. I want to pray for Gloria, and she, of course, is up in years as well with this. All right, let's stand together, please, if you're able to, in honor of God's Word. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 16 of John chapter 14. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Isn't that interesting? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's so much I want to say. I'm just going to not say it. But man, that's a powerful statement right there. The Spirit of the truth, of whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him, neither knoweth him. These people are as sincere in their error as you and I are in the truth. Okay, so let me speak to you this morning on the subject, the Comforter has come. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. That's been emphasized this morning through the songs and just the opportunity to sing together about your faithfulness to us. And now we pray, oh God, that you'll take your word, use it like a fire that melts our heart, Lord. If there's a hard heart here, then Lord, use it like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Whatever our need is, I pray your word will meet it this morning. And I'm going to preach about the Holy Spirit. So I sure would like a measure of his help, his anointing, his power. Not only I need it, we all need it, both speaker and listener. So speak to us this morning. Help us, I pray, in Christ's name and amen. Thank you and be seated. To say these are troubling times would be an understatement for sure. I'm certain that everybody who cares at all about the United States has concern for the well-being of our country. I've already addressed that a little bit. But our concerns are not just for our country as a whole. They are for many other things as well. There are concerns about family. There's concerns about health. There's concerns about job and vocation and religious freedoms and gun rights and our future. These are all things that bring concern to many. Can I just say this, folks? We need to heed the words of Christ when he told the disciples, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you're not careful, the what ifs and the what abouts and what is and all those things that are in the future will sap your effort, will sap your energy on things that are coming down the road. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough potential for evil today to hold our attention without wasting energy and effort on tomorrow. This does not mean that we shouldn't plan for the future. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan for tomorrow and beyond. But it means when you settle into anxiety and worry about tomorrow, you are stealing from alertness and focus that you need today. Today's a big enough task to deal with during these times. So let's heed the words of Christ and not get too far out with what if and what happens and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? That being said, there are concerns today, evil today, that can bring worry, that can create anxiety. This is the same thing it was doing on Wednesday night. I think the contact must need to be cleaned. I'll try it one more time. If it scratches like that, I'll go to that, okay? Worry, anxiety, and in some cases, these things cause fear and sorrow. Now, I've said this before some months ago. These are emotions that can overwhelm us. They can render us ineffective for Christ. Remember, folks, that Jesus is able to cause us to be more than conquerors. I won't take time to go through that again. More than conquerors over those emotions that attempt to throttle us in our life for Christ. That power to overcome those emotions and overcome anxiety and overcome worry and all of those things, that power is centered in the promise that Jesus made to his disciples. It is recorded for us in several verses in the Gospel of John. Because it's recorded in this book means it's for our benefit. It was spoken to the disciples, but God preserved it for us. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus told his disciples he was going away. Now, this troubled them. So he gives them several truths that should have brought them some relief from the trouble, should have given them help with the trouble. And one such truth is repeated four times in this same message that he gave to his disciples. It's in chapter 14, verse 16, that we read just a moment ago. He says in verse 16, and he shall give you another comforter. Look at verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. There it is again. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Look at chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now look, chapter 14, 15, and 16 is all one discourse. It's all one message that Jesus gave to his disciples. So four times in this discourse, he tells these disciples who are troubled in their hearts, the Comforter is coming. The Comforter is coming. The Comforter is coming. The Comforter is coming. I love it when we sing the song in the congregation, "Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come." Because Jesus said in His day, He is coming, but the thing that had to happen for the Comforter to come was that Jesus had to go away. And Jesus went away, so the Comforter has come. And I love that song because wherever human woes abound, human hearts and human woes, hearts are filled with woe. Hearts are filled with sorrow. Hearts are filled with fear. Hearts are filled with anxiety. Hearts are filled with worry. Hearts are filled with all of these things that shut us down as a shining light for Christ. And the Bible tells us that the Comforter can help us with all of those emotions. I believe that the need for this truth in this hour is incredible. It's incredible. You and I need to remember that the Comforter has come. He is on the scene. I'm going to talk about Him this morning out of this passage. Jesus said, "I'm going to send someone alongside you to help you. His name is the Comforter." Now, let me talk about the Comforter this morning. Number one, I want you to notice that the Comforter is a person. The Comforter is a person. It's not a blanket you pull up over yourself at night. All right? Well, that is a comforter too. But that's a little C comforter. Now, when you read these verses, all the verses that we just read a moment ago, Comforter is spelled with an uppercase C. All right? That defines that word as a proper noun, which means Jesus is talking about a person, a place, or a thing. In this case, the Comforter is a person. And we're not left to guess what person Jesus is speaking about. He identifies Him in verse 17, chapter 14, "even the Spirit of Truth," capital S. Then you look at chapter 15, verse 26 again. "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth." Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit. All doubt is removed in chapter 14, verse 26. Look at it there. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." So the Comforter is a person. The Comforter is none other than part of the triune Godhead. The Comforter is God the Spirit. Our great God is three persons in one. You say, "I can't wrap my mind around it." Join the club. And that's okay. God's too big to wrap your mind around. So you've got God the Father. You've got God the Son. You've got God the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is equal in all ways to the other two parts of the Godhead. He's not the third rung on the ladder. He is co-equal in every attribute. He's co-equal in power. He's co-equal in knowledge. He's co-equal in everything that Jesus and God the Father are is what the Holy Spirit is. And people, this is one of the greatest promises to you and me that we could have ever received. Now remember, Jesus ascended to heaven in a body. A glorified body, but a body. And His disciples, standing around there on the mount, gazing up into heaven as He goes up, and the two angels come, and they ask the question, you know, "Why stand ye here gazing?" Then they said, this same Jesus, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Well, Jesus went away in a body. So how is He coming? He's coming in a body. That's what they said. If I understand this correctly, somebody can help me if I'm not right. That means I believe Jesus is in a body. In heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. Uh-oh, Jesus is in heaven. Who comforted those disciples? Those 3.5 years they walked with Jesus. Well, Jesus did. Well, who's going to comfort them now? After He goes away, He said, "I'm going to send you another Comforter. Just like me, identical to, co-equal to me, if you will. And it is the Holy Ghost." So Jesus had been the Comforter, but He was going away. And now He was going to send this Holy Spirit. The God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, who's going to be their Comforter. People, that someone is not a force. That someone is not an impersonal being who is unapproachable and remote. That someone is a person. He can be lied to. He can be grieved. He can be resisted. People did all of those things in the Bible. They lied to the Holy Ghost. They resisted the Holy Ghost. They grieved the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been lied to? Yes, you have. If you're a parent, shake your head. Yes, amen. All right. You've been lied to. Have you ever been grieved? Yes, you have. Have you ever been resisted? Yes, you have. And you are a person. So is the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Ghost. He is a person. Well, I can't see him. Well, guess what? That doesn't change the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's an invisible person, but he is a person. Notice what Jesus said about him in chapter 14, verse 16. That he may abide with you forever. Look at what he said in verse number 17. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is given to us forever. And the Holy Spirit dwells with us. But now wait a minute. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Folks, there is a difference in dwelling with us and being in us. You can have someone dwelling with you that's not in you. But the Spirit dwelling with us, that's wonderful. That's great. But living in us is so much better. You know, I live in a house with a wife. I grew up with a wife and six kids, all right? Sometimes it's possible for someone dwelling with us not to know what's going on inside of us. Right? You know, they might guess what's going on inside of us by the look of our countenance. A couple weeks ago, one of the men in the church was kind of walking around with this longer look on his face. And I asked him, I said, hey, brother, is everything all right? And he said, no, everything's not all right. And he didn't go into great detail, but there was just something bothering him. I didn't know what was going on inside him, but I could see by the look on his face. I don't live inside him. I was just with him. The truth of the matter is, it might be possible for somebody to know what's going on inside of us by the look on our face, but now people, a lot of times, you and I keep everything bottled up. And people that are with us can't tell what's going on inside of us. You know, there were times when the children were all home that it was necessary for me to withhold from my children what I was feeling inside. Problems at the church were so overwhelming at times. In order to protect them from things that were too heavy for them, I bottled those emotions up and put a smile on my face and played memory and usually lost and played other games and played wiffle ball with a smile on my face. All the while, emotions and things bottled up inside of me that were just tumultuous. Once in a while, I had to do the same thing with my wife. I share almost everything with her. Almost. But there are times when it's just too heavy even to talk to her about. So all of that tumult of soul is bottled up inside of me. The people dwelling with me have no idea because they're not in me. But I want to tell you something. There is one who dwells in us named the Comforter. And he knows what we can't share with another human person. You know, it's wonderful to have a human person to talk to. To be able to get, you know, just, what's the word we use? Vent. You know, sometimes I will share with my wife what I'm feeling inside. And she'll ask me, okay, did you get that out of your system now? Huh? I'm sure you have the same thing going on, you know. But, you know, hey, when we don't have a person to vent to, when we don't have a person to get it out of our system, when we cannot do that, there is one who lives inside of us who knows exactly what's going on in our hearts. When you have a human woe abounding in your human heart that causes you sorrow or grief or some type of emotional tumult and you can't talk to somebody else about it, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. You can speak to Him about it. He already knows. You can speak to Him about it. What a wonderful gift Jesus made possible and God sent to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what emotions are scrambling around in your heart that you really aren't in a position where you can verbalize them to others. Boy, things happen. I heard this week about this assistant pastor / youth pastor up in Muskegon, Michigan. I don't know how it happened, but he was swept away in something. I don't know if he's on the boat, but last Sunday night after the service, I guess, he was swept away in an accident and drowned, and left a wife and two small children behind. Just a young man, and swept away, drowned. And the pastor that sent the email out about it, he said, my heart is broken, but I can't imagine what that young wife and those two children feel like. This is back during the week, one of the weekdays. But I want to tell you something, and I'm not being trite. I'm not minimizing her emotional distress. But if she could not verbalize what was going on in her heart to any human person, there is one who lives in her who already knows what's going on in her heart. He's a person. He is someone that you can talk to. Can you imagine? Have you ever been given the silent treatment? And I know what you're thinking. Yes, I'm married. Okay? So I get it. All right? You ever been given the silent? I wonder, I wish I could walk right now, but I can't. I wonder how many of us go day after day after day with someone living inside of us, never saying a word to him. Do you think you would be offended if you lived with somebody in their house? And you live with a family and nobody spoke to you? And yet, as God's people, we've been given this wonderful gift, the person of the Holy Spirit, who's not just with us, He's in us. We take Him in us wherever we go. And these things, in the context of this passage, the disciples are troubled. Can I have that? Yeah. Because I get my feet want to walk right now. I can't stay still. I love it. The disciples are troubled. They're troubled. Is this done working? We're off to all. I don't know what's wrong with this one. Okay. I'm not going to move again. Three strikes, you're out. Okay? So, this person lives in us. And when we're troubled, look, people, I get it. I get it. These are troubling days. Don't tell me they're not. But God's people don't have to walk around like the world is coming to an end. And all the suicides, it's incredible. The attempted suicides, and it's a horrible thing. But if you weren't saved, what hope do you have? The Holy Spirit is a person. And Jesus said, I'm going to send Him. When I go to the Father's going to send Him. We're going to send Him another Comforter. He's going to be with you and He's going to be in you. So He is a person. I've already kind of said this a little bit. Let me go to number two quickly today. The Comforter is not only a person. The Comforter is a Comforter. He's a Comforter. The name Comforter means one who is called alongside. It gives the mental picture of an ambulance on the way to help somebody in a time of need. The Comforter is there to comfort quicker than an ambulance would come to the scene of an accident. I'm sure that several of you have experienced the need for emergency help. I will never forget. September 4th, 2018, on September 8th, 2018, when I had mowed the yard
and stopped the writing mower and checked the phone and saw that I'd missed two calls from my mother. And I was going to finish the trimming, and I thought, I'll call her later. And I thought, nah, I better call her now in case she needs something. And I called, and I don't know if I got through the first time or if I didn't get through, and then the call came back. And when I said hello, it was the voice of my sister-in-law, Julie, saying, Tim, get her away from the car before it catches fire. Click. What in the world? I called it back real quick, no answer. Called my brother's phone, no answer. Called my sister-in-law's phone, no answer. Head-on collision. The car that hit my brother's car with my mother and his wife. That other car caught fire. And it was the sound of the ambulance. And I never asked Mom. But I would imagine a siren has a... When you hear a siren, immediately, doesn't kind of give you a... But if you're in time of need, a siren can be a what? Comfort. What's the siren say? I guess it's called siren up here. Siren is what we called it down in Georgia. So, I'm sorry. You hear that siren? That's what we called it. I'm sorry. Some of that stuff just comes out, folks. It's in the DNA. It doesn't go away. Pecan. What's that one? Oh, we got that third try. Are you sure? I'm scared of this. Testing one, two. Tom went. Okay. So in a time of emergency, the siren, Yankees, siren sound of an ambulance coming to your rescue is in some measure a comfort. It's a comfort. Help is all the... I never served as a paramedic, but my guess is, you know, when a paramedic arrives on a scene where there's an accident, people are in physical, you know, trauma, that immediately they attempt to provide some measure of comfort. It's all right, man. I would think that. Okay? Church, when you are in need of emergency help in any kind of stressful situation, if you're a born-again person, you have within you the person who can bring comfort to you immediately. He's on the way. In fact, he's not even on the way. He's already there. The person of the Holy Ghost is such a benefit and such a blessing. Immediate help is available for us in the person of the Comforter. This is not embellished. As I was typing out this message, this very part of the message about the Spirit of God being a Comforter, I got a text from Ryan Nez. Remember, he was here in September from the Navajo Nation. I got a text from him saying, please pray for our family. My wife, our baby is now in heaven. She was expecting. Remember, he said that while they were here. Amber Nez. And I don't know if they... I just texted him back. But when I texted him back, I also said a brief prayer. I was talking about this very thing right here. Spirit of God, would you please comfort Brother and Mrs. Nez now? They don't have to wait for the ambulance. It's already there. He's in them.
He's the Comforter. I've used
this. Did I lose this? Sound system. That's what it is. I didn't say the devil's running the sound system. I said the devil's in the sound system. What it is. It's not good, though. We'll get it figured out. I've used this before, so forgive me if it's old news to you. Okay, but I'm going to share with you when I felt the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's when Ben and Ashley had gone to Albertville for language lessons. And she had the baby, had Brinley. And a brother that was coming to church here at that time paid for my wife to go for 2 weeks and then paid for Mrs. Finn to go for 2 weeks to help Ashley. And so Joyce went over, and my brother heard that she had gone over, and he called. He said, Terry, he said, look, I got miles. Take these miles and go see her. It costs you a couple hundred dollars to go to Paris and back. For a couple hundred dollars, it's doable. OK, Okay. So I went. I got there after she did. I left before Joyce did. So the day comes, the morning comes, when Ben has to take me to the train station to go from Albertville to Paris. We actually had to drive from Albertville a ways. Forget the little town. So we drive and we're talking, and they are going to leave from France to go to Madagascar. So I'm leaving. I'm not going to see my son, his wife, or the granddaughters for I don't know how long. And we get to the train station. We wait till the last minute. We get out of the car. We stand on the platform. We wait till the last minute. We hug, tell each other that we love each other. Then I got to go down a flight of stairs, under the train tracks, up a flight of stairs to get on the train. And before I descend the flight of stairs, I turn and look back, and he's still there. And I wave at him, and he waves at me. And then I run down and run up, and I look back, and he's gone. And I cannot tell you the feeling. I just still chokes me up to this day. A slight rain. I got this light jacket on. I'm a grown man. I sit in my seat. I pulled the jacket over my head, leaned my head against the train window, and cried. I didn't want anybody to see me. And I was just kind of talking to the Lord, just like you do, you know. Dear God, please. And in the midst of my turmoil, the Spirit of God said to my heart, there was a day when God said goodbye to His Son, too. I'm going to tell you. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but boy, it sure meant something to me. I dried my tears and pulled my jacket down and went the rest of the way. That's how close. Are you listening to this? That's how close comfort is. That's how close comfort is. You're going to the emergency room. You're going to the doctor's office. You can't get a hold of them. You get bad news. There's some problem with this or that. And all you mothers with deliveries and these babies, and there's a complication, and got to get a hold of the pastor. Got to call the church, and you can't get a hold of the pastor. You can't get a hold of the church. And I need somebody in COVID days. I can't see somebody's there. Already there. Well, if I could just talk to a person. Exactly. You can. It's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. And He already knows everything that's going on inside of you. And if it's not health, if it's job, if it's just overcome, you've listened to too much negative, 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 negative. What's going to happen in our country and all these people that are being appointed to these new positions and this global reset and all these people pushing these agendas that are un-American? What is going to get all? Hey, slow down. There's someone in you who can bring comfort to your heart. Don't bite your fingernails to the quick. Get another gray hair because of worry and anxiety. The comforter is a comforter. Number three, the comforter is a teacher. He's a teacher. Look at chapter 14, verse 26. Look at it again. Verse 26, chapter 14. The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things that... Well, wait a minute. The all things that the Holy Spirit teaches us is in the realm of the Word of God. Okay, he brings truth. Now, wait a minute. It's a wonderful element of the Holy Spirit's ministry to teach us God's Word, but that's not where the verse stops. Look at it. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Boy, am I glad for that. Because I have heard so many messages and so much Bible teaching in 45 years of being saved that I have forgotten some of what I have heard. But the Holy Spirit who lives in me can bring that the very thing that I need at that moment to my memory. Think of that. He can reach into this great big book of truth and grab one verse
and bring it to your memory. The devil's a dirty street fighter. He throws whatever he has to get us in a panic about something in our lives. But the Word of God has the answer. And, you know, more than likely, you know, if you've been saved for some time and you've been faithful to services and faithful to read your Bible, you've been taught something from the Word of God that could help you deal with the potential panic. But for the moment, you can't think of it. But all you got to do, folks, is talk to the Comforter. Talk to the teacher. Well, I tried to call the pastor. You can't look. It's not pastor on demand. We don't have that.
But the Holy Spirit's on demand. The Holy Spirit's on demand. He's there. And He'll teach you all things and bring all things in. And I know in the context here, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, what He is teaching them. The Holy Spirit, when He comes, will guide them to all their understanding and truth. But this is written and recorded for us. You know, years ago, I was with, y'all sent me on an elk hunt for, I don't know exactly when it was now. We were out there, I was with Brother Woodward, Brother Gomez, Brother Sharp, Brother Coral. And the last night of our stay in Colorado, before we headed to Southwest Colorado, before we were to fly back to Denver, and then Denver to Chicago, or wherever people were going, we stayed at Brother Woodward's dad and mom's house. They had a house in the mountains of Colorado. Cindy's dad and mom, not Brother Woodward, Mrs. Woodward's dad and mom, lived in Colorado. And so we went there. So we stayed the night there. It was closer to the airport. And they had no phone, but they had a ham radio. And sometime, first time I talked to Keith Harrison in Buenos Aires was on a ham radio. And the first time, sometime during the night, before we went to bed, they got a call on the ham radio, and the message was, tell Brother Angel to try to get to a phone. There's been a death in the family. That's what the message was. Well, okay. Wow. So Brother Woodward and I have to get in the car. I forget how far we have to drive to a phone with a landline. Pre-cell phone days that we have now. And in that car, my mind was just... I had a wife, had five kids at that time. I had mom and dad both living. Wow. And I was having all these thoughts and all this stuff just pinging off around my brain. And as real as I'm talking to you, the Spirit of God reminded me of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where every thought is to be brought into captivity. And I said, Father, help me. Please. And everything just settled down. And when I got to the phone, they left out, there's been a death in the family. They left out the word church. There's been a death in the church family. So it didn't matter. I'm just teasing. You know I'm just teasing. Okay, I'm just being funny. You know who it was? It was Mrs. Underwood. Now that goes back a long ways. That's for you folk that were here a long time ago. Mrs. Faye Underwood. Edna Underwood. Sweet lady, lived over here in Bradley. She passed away. And I loved Ms. Underwood. Visited her. She was shut in. She would come on Sunday mornings, but when she couldn't come, I'd visit her. But let me be a human being. There's a big difference in death in the church family and death in the family. Okay? Not that you don't love people, but there's a difference. Okay? But my point is, at a time when I needed a Bible truth, the Spirit of God taught me, reminded me of something I'd already been taught. Don't let your mind go crazy. Are you listening? Because that's what a lot of God's people are doing right now. They're letting their minds go crazy with the what ifs. Settle down. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance the things that He's taught you from the Bible. This book still has all the answers.
still has all the help you need. Well, I don't have time. I should finish this and be done. I was more to say, the Comforter is a person. The Comforter is a comforter. The Comforter is a teacher. The Comforter is a witness. Look at chapter 15, verse 26, and I'm done. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What does the word testify mean? It means to bear record or give witness. People, do you understand the Holy Spirit did not come to shine the spotlight on himself? He came to shine the spotlight on Jesus Christ. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to testify, look at it, of me. Chapter 15, verse 26. But he doesn't stop there. There's no period. It goes on, verse 27. And ye also shall bear witness, those men, those disciples, because you've been with me from the beginning. So what you have here is you have a tandem of witnessing about Christ. The disciples witness and the Holy Spirit witnesses. And the Holy Spirit witnesses and the disciples witness. And the disciples witness and the Holy Spirit witnesses. I was going to turn you to Acts chapter 5, but don't turn there for sake of time. Peter says about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. We are witnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection. But he doesn't stop there. He says, so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So Peter said, yeah, we're testifying about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And guess what? The Holy Ghost is testifying with us. It's a tandem. Now, you know, my point is this. God has not left. What is the most important task right now for a child of God when it comes to the Lord? Is soul winning, telling somebody about Christ. One of the most important tasks. Do you know that God has not left us alone to accomplish that task? Do you understand that when we witness, He, the Spirit of God, witnesses with us. He's with us. And while we speak to the physical ears, Brother Allen had the opportunity yesterday, just saw a 21-year-old, he didn't know he was 21, but there's this young man raking leaves in this yard. He's 21 years of age. He goes over, makes a conversation with him, begins to talk to him. And as Allen was witnessing to his physical ears, the Holy Spirit of God was witnessing to that man's heart, and he trusted Christ as his Savior yesterday. It's a wonderful thing. Because the Spirit is a witness. He witnesses with us. With us. Matt and Eileen went to see the kids down in Florida, bring Maddie home. And he's not here this morning. They're on their way to Florida, left last night. But you'll see this guy every now and again show up for church. His name is Murphy. That's his last name. I think his first name is Tom. He's a contractor. And a lot of times him and Matt work together. And some years ago, I lose track of time like you do, I'm sure. Matt called me during the day and he said, my friend Murphy's in the hospital in Palos Hills. He's had serious heart trouble. They got to go in and do a, whatever you call that, bypass. And he said, he's not saved. He's a Catholic, but not a practicing Catholic. He says, is there any way you could go with me? And I said, sure. So we left that afternoon, went to Palos Hills Hospital. And I was anticipating going in this ICU room with Matt. And I forget what all happens, but I end up in the room by myself while Matt's outside. And I learned later he stopped outside the room because there's a lot of family there and he wanted to keep the family away. So I'm in this room with this man I've never met till right now. And his heart's in bad shape. And I got to tell him, I need to tell him, and I want to tell him about Christ. Now, if I had to do that on my own, that would be a difficult task. But I wasn't alone. As I witnessed to Murphy, the Spirit of God witnessed with me. With me. And Murphy bowed his head and trusted Christ in that hospital room. Been here to church several times over the years. Was here just a few Sundays ago. Still drives down from Palos Hills. Saved. That's the witness that you and I have within us.
The Spirit of God witnesses with us. Now look, the Spirit of God is a person. He is a comforter. He is a teacher. And He is a witness. No wonder the songwriter wrote, "Oh, spread the tidings round. The Comforter has come." What great news for a child of God. The Comforter's. Are you saved? He's not just with you. He's in you. The person of the Holy Spirit. Have you talked to Him lately? Are you letting panic? Are you letting panic drive you crazy? Wake you up at night? Throttle you down? He's a comforter. Do you need to remember a Bible truth? He's the teacher. And if you've got somebody that you need to witness to, and you say, "You know, I got to do it all by myself." No, you don't. He witnesses with you. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. What a great gift God has given us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. It was challenging today. It's warm and stuffy, and we have microphone issues. I appreciate your effort to pay attention this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just ask today, how many of you would say, "Brother Angel, somewhere through the course of the message, that Spirit of God that you were preaching about spoke to my heart, and I needed to hear that." I already see a couple of hands in the air. If that's you this morning, I see them everywhere. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning as just acknowledging that God spoke to your heart? Thank you. Amen. You can take your hand down. Make a point to speak to Him today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Make a point to speak to Him. Holy Spirit, I'm glad you're with me. I'm glad you're in me. Please be my help and guide today. When you're about to panic, go to Him. When you need a Bible verse, go to Him. When you're going to witness, trust Him to witness with you. Let me ask this question today. Is there somebody here that would say, "Brother Angel, I'm not even sure that I'm saved, that I have the Spirit of God living in me. I'm not sure that when I die, heaven will be my home. I am not sure. And that concerns me." I would like to just pray for you, not by name, but just in a generic prayer. Ask God to help you. If you're not sure that you're saved this morning, maybe when I was talking about witnessing, the Spirit of God was speaking to your heart. You know you're not saved, or you're not sure. I'd like to pray for you. Could you just slip your hand in the air if you're not sure that you're saved this morning? Don't be ashamed of it. You might not know what it means to be saved or how to be saved. We'd be happy to pray for you this morning. Anybody like that? Visitor, member, front to back, side to side. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, then you need to step out. But church, if the Spirit of God living in you, use the Word of God to prick your heart this morning, then please respond in kind back to Him. A visit to this altar. Even if you can't kneel, just stand here and pray for a few moments, acknowledging that He spoke to your heart, that great person called the Comforter. And if you're not saved, when folks come to pray, just come and tell one of these men, "I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for your book this morning, for your word. Apply it to our hearts. Help us to receive it and allow it to help us today. In Christ's name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and the piano plays a song of invitation this morning. You raised your hand. The Spirit of God spoke to you. Acknowledge that. Don't be afraid to. Don't be ashamed to. Don't hesitate. Come this morning and let the Spirit of God continue that work in your heart today. He's the Comforter. He's a teacher. He's a witness. If you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, you can see one of these men down here and just tell them, "I'm not sure that I'm saved." Maybe the Spirit of God, you know, touched your heart when we talked about a person living in the house and never speaking a word to him. He's in the house. Speak to him. Speak to him. Receive the comfort that He gives to you.
Call on Him when you need a Bible verse. Call on Him when you need a help to witness. Talk to Him. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human woes and human hearts abound. The Comforter has come. Let every Christian tongue proclaim that joyful sound, that joyful news. The Spirit of God has come. Father, I bow before You this morning with a very grateful heart. Thank You for sending us the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for giving Him to be not only be with us, but to live in us. Thank You for the comfort He brings to our hearts. Thank You for the teaching, the reminding that He brings to us in time of need. Thank You for the help to witness. So that, Lord, even when we're talking to somebody we've never met before, there's someone witnessing with us. I pray, God, we won't go day after day after day neglecting to speak to Him, but help us to remember He's in us. He loves to fellowship with us. Will guide us, teach us, comfort us, bless us, empower us to live for You. Thank You. Thank You for this blessed, blessed gift. The person of the Holy Spirit. May He work in our hearts and lives even today is my prayer. Well, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank the Lord for the Word of God. Amen.